from the MIDI stream.
In the limelight.
Due to concerns about blood clots, a number of countries have postponed the use of AstraZeneca vaccine, while Denmark has halted its use. Meanwhile, the United States has millions of doses of it, but has not approved its use for its domestic population. In this regard, we have prepared for you an article written by Andrew Salmon titled "The Lethal Risks of Global North Vaccine Hoarding." The article was published by the Asia Times Daily. Please stay tuned. A leading vaccine expert suggested recently that countries holding but not using doses of the controversial AstraZeneca vaccine should release them so they can be supplied to the developing world. Dr. Jeremy Kim, head of the Seoul-based International Vaccine Institute that supplies vaccines across the developing world, said, "We need all the vaccines we have," adding, "If a country opts not to use a vaccine, it should provide it to an international mechanism that will distribute the vaccine." His suggestion came hours after the United States claimed that it will release 60 million AstraZeneca doses to other countries. However, regulatory clearance is still pending and it is not known which countries will be the recipients. Due to concerns about blood clots, a number of countries have postponed the use of the vaccine, while Denmark has halted its use. Meanwhile, the U.S. has millions of doses of it but has not approved its use for its domestic population. However, Kim noted that, in defiance of concerns, other advanced countries such as South Korea and the United Kingdom are proceeding with mass AstraZeneca vaccinations. Referring to the global initiative that supplies COVID-19 vaccines to developing nations at reduced or no cost, he said, "It is important for COVAX to have as much vaccine as possible." Kim said, "We know that Africa and Latin America and South Asia have tremendous problems," adding, "And even in countries that don't have explosive outbreaks, they have the potential to become so." Urgency is essential for two reasons. One is the highest carnage the virus is wreaking in India, Brazil, and elsewhere. The other is the unknown lifespan of AstraZeneca shot. Kim said shelf life is something a company determines over time, and this is not a vaccine we had 10 years ago with a lot of data, so we don't have a good answer, adding, "Companies will periodically take the vaccine out and subject it to testing. They are extending the shelf life as we go along." Kim, who spoke previously to Asia Times in March, made his suggestion while briefing foreign reporters in Brazil. In a wide-ranging representation and question and answer session, Kim addressed vaccine supply bottlenecks, equitable distribution, the risks posed by ongoing mass outbreaks in the developing world, and some possible silver linings to the crisis. Citing data from countries supplying vaccines, Kim said, "Despite widespread global impatience at the rate of supply, some 7.2 billion doses of the currently in use vaccines should have been produced by the first half of this year. By the end of this year, that number should rise to 12.6 billion, and in 2022, there should be 30 billion doses available, more than enough to take care of the entire global population of 7.8 billion. Still, Kim admitted that this was rosy data. Regardless of manufacturing projections, there remain major questions about supply bottlenecks. Kim admitted there are difficulties with scaling up production. He gave the example of Pfizer, which had to temporarily hold production to massively upscale capabilities, which caused frustrating delays. There have also been snafus, such was at the Baltimore plant that mixed up ingredients of AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson vaccines, reportedly spoiling 15 million doses of the latter. And vaccine nationalism has warped supply chains. India, a major manufacturer of vaccines, has indefinitely halted overseas shipments of AstraZeneca to deal with its domestic catastrophe. Getting wide access to vaccines is not simply about being prosperous. Some countries, particularly those which were successful at pandemic containment, were late to order and/or slow to approve vaccines. For example, according to the Financial Times Global Vaccination Tracker, G10 economies, Japan and South Korea are, in terms of percentage of population vaccinated, behind Bangladesh, Dominican Republic, Mexico, Nepal, and Rwanda. Kim said, even so, as a general rule, the wealthier the country, the more likely they are to have vaccinated significant parts of their population. Kim told Asia Times in March, a number of high-income nations fast-tracked regulatory approval and made early pre-orders for vaccines. These countries were assisted by having highly regarded regulatory authorities with the credibility to swiftly approve vaccines. Customarily, countries which lack top-tier regulatory bodies follow the lead set by the most advanced nations. Given the interconnectivity of modern human life, it is essential that vaccinations spread beyond the first world. Kim noted that U.S. intelligence has recently restated that the U.N. had already said, "No one is safe until everyone is safe." Kim said, if high-income countries corner global supply, it will be a disaster. Modeling suggests it may result in doubling the number of COVID deaths worldwide. Kim suggested the real danger lies in the developing world, sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America, and South Asia. Kim's biggest fear concerned the race between vaccinations and mutant strains of the virus. Runaway outbreaks such as the UK's and currently Brazil's and India's were mutations. He warned these mutations are less sensitive to vaccines and could determine the vaccines we now have. Kim said, a year ago we did not have any vaccinations. Now 2 billion doses should be available to COVAX by the end of 2021. While that would only cover 20% of the vaccinations necessary, it should protect the high-risk populations, healthcare workers, and the aged. Kim said, I think COVAX will succeed, but I would like to succeed better. Adding, the prediction is 20% of global needs will be met in 2021, but we have to talk about what countries will need it more desperately. That will be the true test of COVAX. The Global North efforts to assist the Global South must extend beyond supplying vaccines to upgrading medical infrastructure to enable efficient distribution, storage, and administration and monitoring. He said, we don't know how big the infections are and what mutations are emerging in Africa, adding, this can put the vaccines we have developed at risk. We have to invest in surveillance. However, while he emphasized the need to get vaccines to the developing world, Kim warned that one demand currently being aired is not going to be of help. With massive outbreaks underway in Brazil and India, and infection and death tolls is still climbing, Kim admitted that he is not as upbeat about the conclusion of the battle against the virus as he was in 2020. He said, if you asked a year ago, I would have said we could vaccinate and control it with 10 billion doses, adding, but now, with the generation of mutations and explosive outbreaks and ensuring equitable access to vaccines, I am not so positive. COVID-19 poses mortal perils to the aged, but minimal risks to young. This dynamic may help shift the world's conventional attitude toward vaccinations. He said 80% of children around the world get vaccinations that WHO recommends, adding, now we need to change from pediatric immunization to universal immunizations. That change agent could be the current pandemic. Kim said COVID could be a silver lining in the move to lifetime universal vaccinations.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on the invocation of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. We were discussing verse number 2, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, ذلت لقدرتك الصعاب وتسببت بلطفك الأسباب وجرى بقدرتك القضاء ومضت على إرادتك الأشياء. Difficulties are submissive to your power. Causes are made effective by your subtle existence, and decree transpires through your power, and all the things take place according to your will.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
Rabbana. Obviously, if we look at this beautiful statement and this beautiful supplication of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, we realize that it actually talks about the fact that all kinds of power are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one can do anything without His permission, or no one can even desire to do something without His permission. So while He has given every person a volition, a willpower, the thing that has to transpire is according to what He wills. And obviously He has made the things in such a way that He has planned it in such a way that there is cause and effect. When we say, when Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam teaches us here to say, causes are made effective by your subtle existence, وَتَسَبَّبَتْ بِلُطْفِكَ الْأَسْبَابِ, we must realize that all the causes that cause things, that produce specific effects, cannot produce these effects without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cause, or without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. And if we look at it in a very subtle way, we come to realize that even in this secondary level, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and will that is working. It is the manifestation, or the locus of manifestation of Allah, that works here. It is not other than Allah, or there is nothing other that exists, if you go and see, because the reality of existence does not allow any other thing to exist. So whatever we see are divine manifestations, the locus or loci of divine, or loci of divine manifestations. You find that they are manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or His attributes that have appeared in the different things. And therefore, any power that anybody has, any will that anybody has, is not his. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a lot of, we can say, isharat and allusions to this reality when we say, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. There are different verses that clearly say that everything belongs to Allah. La amliku li nafsi shay'an. I do not own anything in myself. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we are also told in another verse, antumul fuqara ila Allah wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyul hamid. So it is important to know that although Allah has kept a whole system of cause and effect, and we try to, you know, divide causes into primary causes and secondary causes and so on, and that the most primary cause, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how the philosophers look at the situation or the reality. But the mystics come to a high level and they say that actually there is only Allah and the others are His self-disclosures. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is manifesting Himself everywhere. And then we come to realize that there is no one who owns anything save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one causes anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore no one can say that, okay, Allah caused this person, and now this person himself has independent power to cause. That is impossible. Because you are then saying that he has separate existence, separate power, and separate important perfections of his own. While this is not the case. وَتَسَبَّبَتْ بِلُطْفِكَ الْأَسْبَابِ. Causes are made effective by your subtle existence.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Here, بِلُطْفِكَ الْأَسْبَابِ also is a very subtle indication itself, because lutf, and when we say Allah is latif, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discloses himself everywhere. When we say he is latifun bil ashya, that it doesn't mean that he is only kind to the things, but he actually is what he is manifesting everywhere. So this is what is known as latafa and latif. So when we say tasabbabat bilutfika al-asbab, it means that, you know, any sabab, any cause that causes, actually Allah is causing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is manifesting there and causing. Obviously, in that level, we can't say that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forcefully doing evil. Ma'adhallah, na'udhu billah. There is nothing like that. There is no forceful evil from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He has made a system that anybody wants to cause anything, and He has the power to do so, apparently is allowed to do so, and the effects are always known, and therefore He does that and He sees the effect. But He must realize that that effect cannot transpire if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want, because every power belongs to Allah. Even that thing that He does apparently, and He thinks that He has done Himself, and that there is no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we want to look at it from a monotheistic perspective, we have to know the fact that it is Allah who allows the cause to cause. Otherwise, any cause, any secondary cause, the way the philosophers conceive, cannot cause save by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Hargiz nagirat to abad آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا
Food for thought. Hello, dear friends, and today on the 17th of Ramadan, the day when the Muslims emerged victorious in the first ever armed encounter imposed by Arab infidels on Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, let us present you a wise statement from the hero of the Battle of Badr, the commander of faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, to his eldest son and successor, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him. Do not call to combat, but respond if you're called to it. Therefore, the provocateur is an oppressor, and an oppressor is to be fueled.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Spiritual message of Islam.
His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. If we all open our eyes to see, he is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. Wa ala alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin la siyama baqiyyatillahi fil aradin ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif wa ja'alana min a'wanihi wa ansarihi wa shi'atih. We've been studying different characteristics of the community of Ahlul Bayt, and we said based on the Quran and Hadith, a very important characteristic is to enjoin the good and prohibit the bad. If you look at this beautiful ayah, I very much love this ayah, among of course many other ayahs, but especially because this ayah is a great lesson for people who want to tabligh in a non-Muslim society. Because it is about the beginning of the Ba'sa of the Prophet. And you know, Prophet didn't start with preaching Muslim. The Prophet started with calling non-Muslims to Islam and truth. This is chapter 7, verse 157. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي. Those who follow the messenger, the Prophet, who is Ummi. Either meaning he was not reading and writing, or meaning he's from Ummul Qura, from Mecca. الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. In my understanding, they had this quality as a quality for the Prophet of Akhir Zaman. This fact of being Ummi was known to them, that he's Ummi. He has not been to any school or any university or any college or seminary. If he has any knowledge, it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they find this registered, documented in Torah and Injil. And you know, today we have difficulty in finding this because after so many centuries of, you know, changes, different translations, you know, editions, you know. But interestingly, no one at that time came to Rasulullah and said, you know, what you say is not in our Torah or Injil. There is no record that anyone went to Rasulullah and said, you know, this is not true. So, it was obvious for them. يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. The very first thing that this Rasul does, the very first thing, يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. He says, do good things. Very natural, very clear, very straightforward. Do good things. At that time, Sharia was not yet legislated. You know, many rulings came gradually.
To begin with, what was Rasulullah saying? Was saying, don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't tell lies, don't steal. So these are all ma'ruf, and everyone was understanding. Rasulullah was asking to do these things. Ya'murhum bil ma'ruf wa yanhahum anil munkar. He says, you know, do good things, be kind, be honest, be respectful to your parents. Don't do those crimes. Ma'ruf, munkar, everything was clear. It doesn't say ya'muruhum bil wajibat, yanhahum anil haram, because wajib and haram are two technical terms for the people who are already introduced to Sharia, people who are already Muslim, already religious. If I say people observe wajibat and they are not yet a Muslim or, you know, religious person, say, what is wajibat? Why I should do this? But Rasulullah was not saying this. Rasulullah was asking them to do ma'ruf. Keep your promise. You don't need to be a religious person to understand this. Not annoy people, not harm people, especially those who are vulnerable. Don't hurt a child, don't hurt a woman, an old person. These are very clear.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater. His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
On the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein said something very important. When Imam saw that they are attacking the tents, he said, "Ellam yakun lakum din." If you don't have any religion, so I cannot ask you as a Muslim to do these things. وَلَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادِ, and you don't know, you don't feel, you don't believe in Akhira. You don't think that you have to be answerable to Allah. Okay, you don't have any religion, you are not accountable in front of Allah. Then Imam said, فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. At least be free people, noble people. So at least do ma'ruf and refrain from munkar. Do what by your common sense you understand. When I am in front of you, you must want, if you want anything, come to me. If you want to fight, if you want to do anything, come to me. Why you are attacking ladies and children? What logic is this? Kunu ahraran fi dunya. This is one of the things that, you know, confirms what I said, you know, one of the nights, that Imam Hussein is very much emphasizing on human conscience. To understand Imam Hussein's logic, you don't need to be a Muslim. You don't need to be a Shia. If you are a human being, in the God-given nature that you have been given by Allah, your fitra is still working, you have sympathy with Imam Hussein. You don't need to be a Muslim. You don't need to be educated. So Rasulullah started asking people to do ma'ruf and refrain from munkar. يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. It's very beautiful. Rasulullah said, all the tayyibat are halal for you. وَيُحَرَّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. He never said something which is good is haram because he wanted you to suffer. He said, don't eat, for example, blood. Don't drink blood. Don't eat, you know, blood or najas or, you know, alcohol. These are the things which are khabis. These are the things which are harmful. Even the Quran is so fair that sometimes says there might be some benefits in these things, but the overall balance is bad. يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما اسم كبير ومنافع للناس. There are some benefits, but overall is bad. You know, so fair is Quran. It's not saying 100% bad. No, there are some good things in them, but overall is bad. So Rasulullah said, do tayyibat. Marriage is tayyib. So Islam didn't say you shouldn't marry, you should be celibate. But Islam says zina is khabis. You shouldn't do adultery or fornication. And those who do marriage, they are tayyib, they can marry each other. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin. Those who are not committed to this tayyib, they are khabis and they suit each other. They cannot marry good people. So, يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهُمُ الْخَبَاءِ. So in Islam, if anything is halal, it's because it is tayyib. If anything is haram, because it's khabith, it is unpleasant. Very simple. If me and you had the knowledge that Allah has and Rasulullah was given by Allah, we were not in need of Sharia. We were ourselves understanding everything. Sharia is to help us to understand, because we don't have that knowledge so that we understand what is behind these legislations. This is why some ulama say that all the religious instructions are indeed irshadat ila ahkam an aqliyah. These are only indicating something that you can rationally understand, provided that you have the information. If you have data, you would understand why you shouldn't eat pig, why you shouldn't drink alcohol. You don't have enough information, otherwise you would understand everything exactly as we have in fiqh. Yes, sometimes with some nations, Allah wanted to make life difficult for them because of zulm that they did. فَبِظُلْمٍ مِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. Allah says, some of the Bani Israel, they did so much zulm that we made some tayyibat haram for them. حَرَّمْنَا طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. Because Allah wanted to punish them. But when it comes to Islam, Allah didn't want to make us suffer. Everything tayyib is halal. Everything khabis is haram.
I'm looking back throughout the years. To breathe is hard and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. Oh Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities. Our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraji, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and all of Muhammad right now. And please give long life and blessed life to the parents and to the teachers and maraji who are alive. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
My ummah, he will say. Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of his way. يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمار عزك
يا الله
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمار عزك لتصي دليلتك once again.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. Allah's salutations be upon all of you, dear friend, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, in the month of Ramadan. So welcome to this program, today's special. The topic of this episode is the rewards for good deeds in the month of Ramadan.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم ومنك العطاء يا أنت العظيم يا فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
Today, Friday, is the 17th of Ramadan, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Ordibahesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Surah Baqarah, verse 261.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم.
The example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is like a seed of grain which grows 7 spikes. In each spike is 100 grains. And Allah multiplies His reward for whom He wills. And Allah is all-encompassing and knowing.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Enjoining others to giving charity and prohibition from immoderation and extravagance are the best way to solving the problem of the difference of social classes. On the other hand, the appearance and spread of usury is the origin and motive of social classes to be created. That may be why that the necessity of giving charity and prohibitions of usury are stated beside each other in the Quran. hearts for good deeds in the month of Ramadan. The blessed month of Ramadan is very honorable. The rewards given for the voluntary prayer, remembrance of Allah, alms, and all other such worships done in this month are like those given for the obligatory ones done in other months. One obligatory act of worship done in this month is like 70 obligatory acts of worship done in other months. If a person gives the supper called iftar to a fasting person in this month, his or her sins will be forgiven. He or she will be emancipated from hell. In addition, he or she will be given as many rewards as those which the fasting person receives. The rewards of that fasting person will not decrease in the slightest degree. We should consider this month as an opportunity. We should perform as many acts of worship as we can, do the deeds which Allah likes, and deem this month an opportunity for earning the next world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم يا كريم. Greetings dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to IRB English Radio Station. You guys are listening to today's special. اللهم اهدني فيه لصالح الأعمال. Pretty much صالح الأعمال, anything that is good, good deeds altogether. Here we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to good deeds. And it is important, there might be the intention for the believers that they do have that heart, that they want that good, they want to do the good deeds, they want to run after the good deeds, they want to reach the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet at the same time, they can't. Why? Either because they don't know what the good deeds are. Therefore, it is important for them to learn what the good deeds are. How to conduct the good deeds as well as is important. Other than that, to give us the chance, you know, sometimes, you know, we know what the good deed is, we know how to conduct it, yet there's no chance out there for us to do it. For example, to visit the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and aid us in falling into these good deeds. Now, you know, and any other day it's important to do good deeds, you know, and of course our obligations, our recommended actions. And, you know, put the obligations aside, you know, it's something that we have to do, it's our responsibility, it's our duty. There are actions actually that are, you know, recommended, or you could say mustahab, something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, but has not obliged it upon us, has not made it a duty or a task on our shoulders. These actions gain the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and the hereafter, normal days. So how about the month of Ramadan, where usually doing good deeds is much easier. You know, the hearts of the believers are broken with the hunger and thirst, and thus they feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They feel mercy for the fellow brothers and sisters, thus they will fall into helping their society, their community. They will feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that hunger, that thirst, that abstaining from the various acts, those 10 or 9 things that we have to abstain from, when falling into them, they break their desires. Breaking their desires makes them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because when you're close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your intellect, that means that you're doing it off of intellect. Desires usually break and cause the intellect to fall down.
Ramadan! Ramadan, ya Ramadan, ya nafhat ar-Rahman. رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
Ramadan is the time to gain great rewards. The month of Ramadan is the time to gain great rewards by doing good deeds, as our good deeds get multiplied in this blessed month. Glory is to the one who has blessed us yet another chance to experience this holy month, the month when every good deed done is multiplied by 70. It is the best time in the Islamic calendar to seek forgiveness. Not only does Ramadan provide us with the opportunity to cleanse our past sins, but it is during Ramadan that every act of goodness is multiplied 70 times from Allah, the Almighty. An evil deed done in Ramadan is more sinful than one done at any other time, just as an act of worship done in Ramadan brings a greater reward from Allah than one done at any other time. Last but not the least, we will all strive to make improvements. The month of Ramadan is the time of rewards. The month of Ramadan is a period when doing charitable work reaps high benefits, as our acts of kindness are multiplied during this sacred month. Throughout Ramadan, we must strive to obey Prophet Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt and do many good deeds as possible, since we all realize Ramadan is the best time to develop a practice of doing great actions that will last long even after the month has passed. Do not believe that a tiny good deed is insignificant. No good deed is insignificant, particularly throughout the blessed month of Ramadan. All of the good deeds are obligatory on us to perform even in other 11 months of the year, but in the month of Ramadan, those who do not pay attention to those good deeds should pay a careful attention to these practices, since every good deed returns double or more the reward.
It is important for us to take advantage of this month in doing good deeds and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and aid us in doing good deeds. And aiding us, like we stated in summary, is actually to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us, to open the paths of knowledge for us, how to conduct these actions and to actually give us the chance out there and to give us the will and the power to do so. So brothers and sisters, keep your society in mind, keep your brothers and sisters in mind. Keep your neighbors in mind, keep your parents in mind, and take your chances during this month to do any good action, you know, from whether being at reciting the Holy Quran. There are specific supplications that, you know, that are available, and we still have the nights of power, Layal al-Qadr, the nights those nights where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave great importance to, which we will talk about inshallah more tomorrow. So from now until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was all for this episode of today's special. I invite you to listen to our next episode, inshallah. May Allah keep all of you safe. Fi amanillah. Oh.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.